Still Entitled is supported by City Cards with Android Pay. Listening on your phone? Now you can pay while you listen, using the same device. Just tap and go. Download the Android Pay app on Google Play or visit citi.com/AndroidPay to get started. Android Pay is available for eligible Citi consumer credit and debit cards.
Every summer in San Diego, tested.com. Welcome to Still Untitled. You blew it.
I'm sorry.
Welcome to Still Untitled, the Adam Savage Project. I'm Adam.
I'm Norm.
I'm Simone.
Well, I was going to say, is that a Don LaFontaine impression, or is your voice just gone after 2 days?
It is both of those things. I've actually taken very good care of my voice. I don't know if you remember, but last year at this podcast, I was talking like this.
Oh my God.
How do you take good care of your voice? Do you just prioritize what conversations you have?
I try and just stay mindful of the fact that I'm yelling during all the evening parties because it's so loud. You're meeting people, you're really excited, you're having vigorous conversations, and it's really loud. So last night, how I maintained my voice was I went home at 11:30.
Okay. Right. It wasn't any elixir or nothing?
No.
So if it wasn't so clear, we are at Comic-Con right now. We're in the thick of it.
Yeah.
And for everyone out there, Comic-Con is over, so we can talk about anything.
Oh,
there's
right.
There's no holding back. Mm. Adam, this has been your... you've been going to Comic-Con since 2008, I believe.
Yeah, I think this is my
ninth Comic-Con.
Simone, in a row? Mm-hmm. You haven't missed any of them?
No.
Simone, it's your first.
It's my first, yeah.
Every streak begins with one.
To live long and prosper my Comic-Con adventure. Hope it continues.
I very much enjoy seeing Comic-Con through somebody new's eyes because it's an overwhelming slog. It is like a freight train. And for me, I'm up from like 8 a.m. till 2 a.m. 5 days in a row. And then I go home and I kind of recover. But when I see it through someone's eyes who hasn't been before, it kind of freshens it up.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was a lot of fun. And especially yesterday, we went to a lot of different parties. And I didn't really expect that aspect of it. I thought it was mainly just the convention and people walking around, but there's just so much stuff going on around it. But I think, yesterday, because we were filming, I was filming in the center for maybe 4 hours, and it's just like, it demands so much processing power of your brain just to navigate big crowds and all the impressions, and it just like, I don't know, I feel like I could stare into a wall for a long time and not be bored.
Exactly. I feel like how Superman feels with all the sensory overload he gets when, with all the sounds, where you have to like turn off things, turn off your smell when you're in the convention center, focus on your target and navigate.
Well, and every other year before this year, I've had to fly back from Comic-Con on Sunday and be filming Mythbusters on Monday.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
This is the first year I actually get a little downtime to chill, because that was always a little bit of a rough transition.
And also, this is the first time that you've left your cave clean before, because it's always a mad scramble. You're in production, and you're also building costumes.
And there's always like a whole bunch of, every other year there's been a lot of last-minute production because Mythbusters took up so much time. This year, the bear suit, we finished it a week ahead of time.
Yeah.
Plus, I'd been doing a lot of shop infrastructure with my shop's assistants and my kids, and I'm sorting things a lot. So, yeah, the shop is cleaner than it has ever been right now. And when we move this stuff back in, there'll actually be a day of kind of, it comes back on Sunday, right?
Yeah.
It came back on Sunday.
So you're saying
everything just fine.
Clean shop, clean heart.
You know,
clean shop, clean Adam.
No, not necessarily. It's just a nice place to start. I'll trash it again. You know how that goes.
So you prioritize your shop before personal hygiene. Is that what you're saying? Because you're like, you're coming clean out of your shop.
I think of it's like getting your inbox to zero. It's a laudable goal, but it only happens every now and then. Mm. But when it does, it provides this kind of great framework from which to jump into the next thing. Mm-hmm.
That's the same I have with shaving my legs. you aspire to do it, sometimes it happens. And you feel
great.
And
then when you get back from Comic-Con.
Yeah.
I will say something about this Comic-Con right up front that I find really exciting is, having been here 8 times, or 9 times, I can't remember, I'm noticing a significantly higher amount of diversity at Comic-Con this year than in previous years. And I mean diversity in terms of attendees and diversity in terms of the cosplayers.
Yes.
And that I find really exciting. Now, one of the symptoms, one of the symptoms of this is The Force Awakens. There's tons and tons of girls and women dressed as Rey from The Force Awakens. And I love that costume. Everyone looks great.
And in previous years, we saw like the rise of gender-crossing cosplay. Mm-hmm. Like, groups would come in where the roles would be reversed. You'd have women playing Superman and Batman, and men playing Wonder Woman and a lot of the female heroes. Mm-hmm. And now,
I saw a drag Thor.
Right. Yes.
Like a man dresses a woman dressed as Thor. And I was like, it's freaking fantastic.
Yeah. And then you see a lot of like the new Ghostbusters. Yep. I think the comics have gotten more diverse.
But I think it feels like a lot of the previous or older female characters are very like, it's like super tight, super like hot panty kind of thing. And maybe not everyone feels comfortable with that. And now they have another assortment of female characters that are a little bit like more dressed down that they can choose from.
And so you understand a little bit of the history of Comic-Con and cons in general is a very touchy area where attendees, cosplayers are coming and wearing those skimpy costumes, where it's been required to invent the phrase cosplay does not equal consent.
Yes.
Because these women and girls are getting groped and or their photos taken creepily. The ethic here is that you ask someone to take their photo, you let them pose for you, you take the photo, you don't just creep out and take lots of.
Yeah. When we walked around, Simone and I walked around and like did like a little tour of the show, and we saw like just in like the statues and figurines, this is the most impractical costumes.
I was going on a rant about it.
Astronauts should not dress like that.
She's going to cut her legs and like she needs something to protect her shoulders if she's in basking sun.
Are her butt cheeks really need to be exposed for this police uniform?
But she just doesn't have any pocket space.
Tess, I love that. There's no storage in that costume.
Well, you know, this is what I think whenever I see the naked guy up in the Castro in San Francisco. Where's your wallet?
Right.
Oh, don't ask.
Right. Have you not seen Pulp Fiction? It's where the watch is. But then there are a lot of cool costumes that were for upcoming movies on display.
Yeah.
And I was very impressed by the mannequins for some of these costumes too. At the DC booth, they had the costumes for the new Wonder Woman film.
Yeah.
And also for Suicide Squad. And you had like the actors like milled out versions of their mannequins in them.
I aspire to the kind of display that I've been seeing. The Star Wars booth, all the Force Awakens and Rogue One costumes on display, beautifully laid out, like just fantastic reference materials the way I think about it, but a gorgeous display.
Yeah, and remember we saw that Rogue One, the lead character played by Felicity Jones in the center there, and it was a great costume that wasn't like skimpy or anything. It was practical.
Speaking of great costumes, so I wore Kylo Ren yesterday out on the floor, the Anovos Kylo Ren, which is, from what I understand, it's patterned right off the original that Adam Driver wore. I did a test fit with Anovos of the suit that was cut to Driver to discover that, it turns out my shoulders are less broad than his, but I think we knew that. But the costume itself was an amazing costume to wear. The pictures came out incredibly. But also, Deborah Nadulman Landis talks about how a good costume puts you into the character, literally physically pours you into a character. How a British naval uniform from the 18th century will pull your shoulders back, that a captain can't even raise his arm above this because it's supposed to look regal. And Kylo's costume does that. It's like 4 heavy layers of fabric around your midsection and this tight belt. And there's a way in which it just wearing the costume makes you stand like an angry Sith.
Now, that's a really good point because Simone asked a good question. What's the difference between cosplay and like just costuming for Halloween? And since we podcasted last, your TED Talk has come out, mm-hmm. in which you talk about your lifelong love of cosplay. And that's exactly what you're talking about. I think I struggled to explain it, but like when you cosplay, you embody the character more.
You are. It's a performance more than it is. So there's a performative aspect to Halloween, but it is often swept under the rug because it's a little weird and it's a little embarrassing. And when people put on, you know, we do this every day. We put on our favorite shirt and we feel a little better about the day. And that's great. That's important. And that's a costume. That's a signifier, both to you and to the people you're meeting. Costumes are the same thing, but it's can be so extreme. When you put on a Han Solo outfit that feels good and it's weird, that Halloween, I think, is a little bit more, you know.
People don't really dare to, like, go full force into character. And
but when you, and I had to learn this. I first came in Hellboy, and I wasn't thinking about posing as Hellboy. But when you work towards building a costume, and then once you have the costume, you work on putting the character into it, it's this whole other layer.
It's like Batman, Bruce Wayne is the mask. Batman is the true character. It's the true persona.
yes, right. Kill Bill monologue.
Yes.
But it's interesting how clothes and costumes and things like that affect you. I mean, I just have something like, I can't work if I don't put on pants. Like, if I'm in my pajamas all day, I'm not going to get any work done. Like, I have to actually put a bra and a pair of pants on, and then it's like, okay, now I'm like work Simone. Yeah.
Ready. Yeah, absolutely.
So any good stories from the convention? Any good encounters?
I
did meet a cosplaying Jamie twice.
Twice.
First, I ran into him over at the beginning of the hall. I took one of my Kylo helmets, and I just put it on to walk around the convention on Thursday.
A legitimate incognito.
Unfilmed. I did not tell anyone who I was doing it. Still recognized 5 times in 30 minutes.
Because...
A little hint of beard, gorgeous, or my hair in the
They're
back.
Like, the way his neck creases. Isn't that Adam Savage? Well,
I told you this yesterday, and you were like, is it your walk?
The gait, yeah.
And so I saw this cosplay Jamie, and I went up and I said, can I take a picture? And he said, yeah. And then he took a picture. And then after we took the pictures, I said, I'm Adam Savage. And he was like, no way. I was like, yep. And then he found out for real because he sat in my autograph line yesterday and we signed autographs and we took some pictures, which is, I actually hit the front page of Imgur yesterday.
Oh, wow. That's great.
So that was awesome. You know, I signed autographs for 2 hours for several hundred people yesterday, and that was also amazing. We took some pictures. We tweeted a bunch of people's costumes. There's a couple of things I love here. One is the beautiful costumes. Two is people committing to wearing them. And every costume is hot.
Yeah.
And every costume is uncomfortable. And that's
part
of the thing.
And it's been really warm here.
60% humidity, 85 degrees Fahrenheit. But the other thing I love are the costumes where it's like the materials and the skills are really low. And yet what you're seeing is made extant is the drive to put the thing on. Mm. My Captain America shield is printed on 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper and glued to cardboard. And I made it and I'm wearing it and I feel great in it.
I'm Captain America now.
You're just as much Captain America as someone who bought the $800 replica.
I had an experience yesterday as Kylo where I'm walking through and I'm kind of giving my all. And this little boy walks up and he's like, Kylo. And I'm like, I give him a little high five. He gives me a high five. And his dad's like, you want to take a picture? And the kid's like, yeah. And I get down on the kid's level. And as I get down, the kid looks more and more horrified and runs away screaming. It was a little too much Kylo, too close.
No, I love going through and seeing the high-end collectible, the model miniatures at booths like EFX and Quantum Mechanics.
The Quantum Mechanics Cutaway Millennium Falcon is a masterpiece. John Eblin's an old friend of mine.
Yes, at FX Cinema Arts there. And he said he's been working his whole life on it. It is a 1/80th scale. But the whole top of the Millennium Falcon comes off, and you can see like a blueprint of the inside.
Incredible.
Which from like, they're making that for a mass market, so they need to mold and cast like each room and also have like their Greeblies that fit
QMX
in there.
Is the guys that did Serenity Ship Firefly.
Yeah, yeah.
They do beautiful, precise, lovely work. This is by far one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
They had a Guardians of the Galaxy Milano ship, which like, that's, again, when the ship is being designed by CG artists and a lot of these ships, there are no miniatures when they film.
Right, there's no maquette.
There's no consideration about the weight and the geometry and how it could actually fit in the real world. But so it's a real challenge for model makers.
Yes.
How is this going to balance as a model? Because they never had to do that. I visited a prop shop, and they had they made their Kylo Ren helmet.
Yep, absolutely.
They have that Darth Vader melted helmet.
They have a very high-end collectible market for Lucasfilm.
And it's the reason to go to a convention like this, because you can see pictures, you can watch videos, like even art videos, but to see it in person, you get to admire the detail like no other experience.
Absolutely.
Kylo Ren's lightsaber, his hilt, I got some interesting stories about that.
Oh, how so?
Apparently,
I heard the original was 3D printed.
Yes, that was 3D printed, but you never, in The Force Awakens, you don't get the full story about it. You see that it's kind of like a ragged lightsaber hilt, like their wires exposed, but no one said, and you infer in the books that he made it himself.
Right, it has a story inherent in its construction that it looks like it's not the best construction, it's not perfectly built, it's...
Apparently J.J. Abrams has like a movie's full worth of story just for that lightsaber hilt, including, for example, the bottom is an additional engine. The reason there's a red wire exposed is because it got burnt out on the top engine. So he had to add a bottom engine, and the wire comes out. The wire is translucent. The cross guards, people always ask, is it actually work? Well, it's made of Mandalorian iron, so it will actually, lightsaber will not cut through it. Yeah, things like that. Like there's damage on there that comes from his previous battles that have already been imagined but not put on film or paper.
That's, that's why I love the storytellers, man. Yeah. Imbuing everything with a history.
And then the prop makers have to actually add that story because there's no film for any of that beforehand. So in their making of the prop, they hear the story from the creative, and even though it'll never be explained, they actually have to put it in the prop.
Now, we should also talk, because some folks who are listening to the podcast have not been following our social feeds and tested. We started out Comic-Con Wednesday night. I went to the world premiere of Star Trek Beyond, an incredible world premiere, because it's the first time there's ever been an outdoor IMAX performance with a full Philharmonic for a world premiere of a film. It was incredible. Michael Giacchino's incredible score was played by the San Diego Philharmonic outdoors here on San Diego Harbor.
So the movie had no... They had a cut of the movie without the score.
That's exactly right.
And without the choir.
They had a live
orchestra and choir. Right?
And choir, a full 40-member choir.
How did that work out?
It was incredible.
Do you know if they rehearsed for that?
They did. They rehearsed it 3 times before they performed it.
Wow.
I took pictures with a bunch of the choir members. They were lovely. But the whole cast was there. It was really fun and really exciting. It was also elegiac. I actually sat right behind Anton Yelchin's parents. That was very intense and emotional. J.J. Abrams gave an impassioned and lovely speech and held a moment of silence for Anton, the actor who played Chekhov, who died under just the worst circumstances recently. And it was clear that had cast a pall over the release of this film for the cast and crew. And one of the things I can tell you from having been around the cast and crew a bunch during the release of this film is that it really is a family. These guys have been making these movies now for almost 10 years. The actors all love each other. The crew love each other. The directors, I mean, it is a deep, abiding family unit, and the loss of one of them under any circumstances would be a tragedy, and in this it's particularly keenly felt.
The film is just out, so we're going to save our spoiler cast for another time.
But Adam, it was the second time you saw it now.
It was, we got to go to the screening in San Francisco.
Yeah, was it better the second time, or?
No, it was about the same. I don't usually watch movies more than once.
And especially not within,
but
2 days.
It's great to sit and start to get to really see the layers of storytelling again within the frame that they're layering in. It's got a few great guffaws in it. It's a terrific script by Simon Pegg. Mm-hmm. It's a really fun movie. I like this better than Into Darkness.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's a better movie also.
It's Saturday now that we're talking. Yes. I am right after this podcast. I'm going to put on the bear suit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So this is like the time travel story. It went great.
It went great.
Great.
We don't know how it's going to go. We don't know how long it's going to take for someone to recognize me. I'm fascinated by what's going to happen here.
Worried about anything?
I'm not worried about anything. The suit is not incredibly hot.
Mm. You have a lot of space around you.
I have a lot of space around me. Also, I've tried a new technique this year with the cosplaying. There's always a problem of putting on a helmet and wearing contact lenses and then sweating into the helmet and the visor fogs up and I can never see. Comic-Con is a litany of days in which I could not see a thing. The bear suit has mesh like Kylo Ren's helmet. And the Kylo Ren helmet was a delight to wear because of that. I also have this secondary technique in that because I'm old and nearsighted, when I wear contact lenses, I'm functionally blind to anything but distance. Like I can't see my phone under any circumstances. So I've started wearing one contact lens for cosplay. So I can see at a distance with my left eye and I can see my phone and communicate with my folks with the right eye.
That's a life hack. If there's anything that's a life hack, that's it.
It's not my invention. There are people who do two contact lenses at my age where it's bifocals don't work anymore. Mm. They do one for near and one for far. I'm just modifying it for cosplay. Right now, we have not yet determined at this moment in time how we're going to deal with the Leo DiCaprio dummy. Whether I'm just going to drag him all the way from the hotel, which is like half a mile from here to the convention center.
It's going to be warm. That's
going to be the warm part of the journey.
Yeah. And last year, because we took a cart when you and Chris Hadfield were in the water-cooled astronaut suits, the 2001 suits. We were carted all the way there. Yeah. Yeah, and this one there's almost more of a performance because you have an accessory.
Yeah, I do.
Can't you just ride in on Norm's Segway?
Well, so speaking of that, God, there's so much to cover. Norm and I also brought some electric vehicles on this trip. Yes. I brought the one wheel. Norm brought the Segway.
The Mini Pro.
What's that thing called?
Yeah.
The Segway.
The Mini Pro.
You were rocking Starbucks on that Segway.
I am now fully converted.
Really?
Because I check my walking stats and. Like, this is not to go on the convention floor, of course. That would be a terrible fire hazard. But I'm getting my 20,000 steps in at Comic-Con every day.
Yeah.
So in the times that I need to get places and I can go and there's a straightaway, I'm going to use the Segway.
Well, and this is the thing for me with the one wheel is the way Comic-Con is constructed, the convention center is right along the harbor.
Yeah.
And you can walk up the front sidewalk, which is the opposite side of the harbor, or the water sidewalk. And the water sidewalk is a great way to get really... functionally, it's the fastest way to move from one end of the convention center to the other, faster than any car, because traffic in San Diego during Comic-Con is a nightmare.
And actually, not a lot of people are back there. But the two ends, like there are events happening at the Hilton.
Yeah, Bayfront.
And then the Marriott Marquis. Yeah. And if you were just to walk, it'd be half an hour.
Well, so I put out one wheel on. I mean, I jump on the one wheel. And for instance, last night to get to the IMDb party, I had to be there at 7:30. I left my hotel room at 7:22. And I just whiz through the crowd. And the best part about it is by the time you see me, I'm gone.
That's right. It was the dream of Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
It was Dean Kamen's dream.
Exactly. So I hear people, wait a minute. What the? Like that kind of thing as I'm going through.
Yeah, because you were on front page of Inger. Again, just in San Francisco, going around on your one wheel,
I
think.
Right. With your coffee. Yeah.
Exactly. So, someone caught me leaving Ritual with my coffee carrier, changing my sunglasses while on the one wheel and making a U-turn. So I love that thing. And it's been, I think next year we should bring more electric vehicles for the crew to be able to move around.
Hotels should definitely have this. Like things you can... for guests to rent or loan for the day around.
Let's be clear. Comic-Con is a warren of one-way streets here in the Gaslamp District. Right. So jumping in an Uber to drive three blocks can take 30 minutes during Comic-Con any time of day or night.
Well, there's also other ways getting around. There are the pedicabs. And Simone, you had an interesting experience. Well, yeah, you had a...
Like, by the way, before you say this, I said to my assistant who lives here, I said... we can rent one of those pedophiles or whatever it's called. And she goes, whatever it's called, it's just as dangerous.
Just pay $20 and you can write a pedophile. Oh gosh, yeah, no. So we were at a yacht party with IMDb, and we're going to a Weta party. And I didn't anticipate how far it was. So we were five people, and we got into one of these rickshaws. What was it called?
Pedicabs.
Yes. And the guy was like, I was like, do you have, like, are you okay with this?
So because four people?
Five people.
In one.
He was one person, but he was a professional MMA fighter. So for one, like, he had thighs of steel. And also, he would not show in any way that he was getting tired. Like, I could see his neck starting to get really sweaty and him being, like, grunting. But he's like, no, I got this.
It's uphill.
Yeah, it's just such a, yeah, he had
the
spirit
of a fighter.
You should have
held a bell out in front of him. You can ring the bell at any time. Oh my God. You can ring out. Oh.
But we were riding down the harbor, and I was like, stop! Because the cast of Game of Thrones were getting off one of the boats and getting into their car. And I was like, stop, turn around. And I very rarely get starstruck. And for one, like, I don't let myself get starstruck because I feel that I'm a little bit too proud for it. So I'm always playing it cool. I was so not playing it cool. Like, I ran up to Sir Davos and was like, can I please, please take a photo?
Oh, you did? You got a photo?
I got a photo. Yeah,
brilliant.
I got a great photo.
Good
and he
for
was
you.
Like, and I was like, I know you kind of want it. And he was like, okay. And I got
nice
a photo.
Job.
And I was like, but it was fun because I got the full fan experience, which I rarely get. And I was like, mm-hmm. I mean, like, my heart was racing. And I was like, that just happened. Oh my God, that just happened. So yeah, it was a good.
That sounds like a successful
first Comic-Con.
Yeah,
that is great.
I felt really happy about it. But next time, I'm going to get into a costume because I really want that experience of like, And I've been seeing a lot of the great costumes and I'm like, gosh, I just really want to work with that.
Yeah, and I was walking as Kylo yesterday, and I saw a Rey walk past, and she was probably like 16, and she was like, you know, there's a lot of parts to Rey, and they wrap, and it's a lot of bits, and I know the Star Wars clothes, how they hang is really important, but it's not always easy to construct them to hang right. And she's there, and she's fiddling with some part, and she looks a little, like, kind of pissed off about it. And it gave me this really warm feeling because that's part of the costume. Yeah. It's uncomfortable. It really takes this commitment. And it's just like being uncomfortable in your costume is one of the things that's going to happen.
Maybe it was the same Rey. I saw Rey who was so, like, she had looked like she cried for hours.
Aww.
Yeah, she was crying and like walking around with, what's the name of the other character?
Finn.
Finn,
yes.
Yeah, walking around with her Finn, just like holding his hand. And yeah, maybe that was
Well, one of the things that happens here on Friday mornings of Comic-Con is there's a lot of raffles to get into various panels and to get various exclusives here at Comic-Con. There's raffles and there's auctions and there's like lotteries and there's people wait online just to get maybe a ticket to get in a lottery
to buy something.
Oh
my gosh.
And
yeah.
So Friday morning is frankly a litany of disappointment for a large portion of attendees.
Yep.
I ran into, like, as I'm signing autographs, I say, how's your con going? Easily 20% of people are going, not so great up until now, but this is better. And it's always the same story. We waited for hours this morning and it didn't come to fruition.
It's crazy. I didn't anticipate that. The people, I mean, they wait for like full days.
Well, and the waiting is actually, it's hard to for civilians maybe to understand, but the waiting is a key part of the culture here at Comic-Con. The sitting in line and the community that's built with the people that are on either side of you in line is actually something that is intrinsic to the Comic-Con experience. And it's not something you could remove. If you stripped it out immediately and like did Disney World, like no lines, you'd actually harm something important about
it. Because as a person who hasn't been to Comic-Con before, I'm like, there must be more effective ways to do this. Couldn't you like go online and sign up for a list and then
try.
Have a lottery and stuff like that? Yeah. I mean, it just people pay with their time, or that's like how you prove how much you want this. But yeah. Maybe that is a part. I mean, maybe it's a part of the experience.
It is, and it's the earning of the thing. It's the, you know.
Right, you earn it by waiting, yeah.
And as big as Comic-Con is, everyone's Comic-Con is different. You have your Comic-Con, mm-hmm. your path through it.
Well, and I mean, yeah, because it's facet. It's millions of facets to it. There's mm-hmm. the booths, the over 100 and some thousand mm-hmm. attendees. There's no way in which any one person is going to be able to get or experience Comic-Con.
Yeah, choose your own con. I got to give a shout out to Conan O'Brien.
Yeah.
Who, like, talk about people who go all out and incognito and put a costume on. He had a costume made by Ironhead Studios, who they did.
We covered.
Yes, right. Yes. They've made the Black Panther costume, the Batman vs. Superman costumes. And Conan had an incredible full body hero outfit with the Magneto style helmet and hair.
Absolutely. And his hair. The helmet
the hair
is
was
glorious.
Really, really a work of art.
Yeah, so you gotta check out that video on the Conan site.
So this has been my favorite Comic-Con. I was out dancing with my sons at the Nerdist party. We brought a whole bunch of people over mm-hmm. there, Chris and all the folks at Legendary and Felicia Day, Geek & Sundry, through just an incredible party at Petco Park. I've just been glowing all day long every day.
And your kids have been enjoying it? It's because you've taken them many Comic-Cons and they've yep. grown up with Comic-Con.
They have. They really have. Right? I didn't realize that. But yeah, they've worked for me every Comic-Con. I pay them a day rate.
Mm.
Plus meals.
Travel.
Yeah. And they're having a fantastic time. Again, tonight is the big industry party, the EW party. Thing One has never gotten to go to it. So tonight he's my date. And is where it's a crazy heady mix of like all your favorite television actors, plus all your favorite showrunners, plus a bunch of your favorite movie stars, like all in one room.
It's a lot to process.
It's a little intense. Yeah.
You think you're gonna head back to the floor, Simone?
I'm not sure, but I really want to see your incognito, so I'm gonna hide.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And
yes,
at you.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
I'll that is keep my distance.
Kind of essential part of the tested Comic-Con experience, the how to follow Adam without being conspicuous.
Spotted, yeah.
I will be 7 feet tall, so that's going to be
gonna yeah,
hairy,
make
so
it
so it's
easier.
Gonna be easier to see me. Amazingly, the other night at Woodstock, I was talking to this woman, and she said, "What is your costume?" And I said, "It's a 7-foot-tall bear." And she was like, "Wait, really? You know, because I'm a professional puppeteer." And she turned out to know Rick and Ron. She knew those guys.
Oh.
She does this stuff for a living. She was working on a bear costume currently. And on the side, she's a specialist in Regency era clothing.
Wow.
Which is the other thing that I've done with the Captain Jack Aubrey Admiral Lord Nelson uniforms. So we became fast friends.
Let us stay in touch.
They're totally staying in touch. There's some stuff that there's some projects we're going to work on.
You're going to have a bear costume party.
No. I'm
That's called a furry convention.
Regency era. It's going to be a Regency era furry. No, it's there is specifically this Regency era men's costume that I found a picture of that I've had in my files for a few years now that I'm kind of obsessed with, because I don't think of, it's almost like it could look like an Alexander McQueen or Gautier outfit, because it's so well cut and it has so much character and attitude within it. We think of Regency as just being, you know, the men in the stiff, Mr. Darby jackets and the breeches and things like that. This one is like the high art form of design from that era, and I'd love to replicate that costume. Why? I have no idea.
But it's... Yeah. No, having no idea is good enough reason just so you want to do it.
Exactly. Do you have any ideas, Simone, of what kind of costume you might be interested in wearing?
I would love... Next year, or Comic-Con New York, I would love to have it... full-on astronaut costume.
Oh,
yeah,
can totally help you.
Yeah,
that.
I'm a sucker for astronauts. I would, I would feel like $1 million in it. I think.
Excellent.
We'll get that.
We can make that happen.
Yes.
All right. Well, hope everyone that's been out there has been enjoying our Comic-Con coverage. We gotta get ready for an incognito.
Norm, I can tell you're a little tired.
I'm just a little. I can see
the edges of your armor.
Yeah.
There's a reason you're riding around on a Segway.
Right, exactly.
Looking blank.
Thank you, guys.
All right, we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
See you next week.